Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for, what is it? April 6th, 2025. All right, Anna, we're going to start with you. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Hi,
I'm
nice to meet
scared, but
you,
I'm
by the
ready.
way.
Nice to meet you, Christine.
Nice to meet you too. Okay, so I'm going to read this. Anna is a cash flow tiger. She does two main things. She offers artist support services. She does three main things. She offers artist support services to organizations and individuals. For organizations, she offers to manage selection processes for their artistic grants, as well as mentoring the people who get those grants. And then for individuals, she offers coaching and consulting for artists looking to make their short films. Script notes, campaign management for crowdfunding. And the third thing she does is she herself is a filmmaker and a writer. So you had a job at Sundance and you left. You were like, I'm burnt out and I really want to establish myself with the connections of the people I'm meeting in this industry. I want them to see me as a filmmaker first. And this is my side job. And you felt like this is great. And I love the people I'm working with, but I just felt like I was Anna from Sundance. Yeah. So you left, totally fine. And then you received a grant in 2022 from Women Filmmakers, the WAVE grant. And you were like, you pitched to them. And you're like, hey, you know what would be really kind of cool? It'd be kind of cool if the people who got this grant had somebody like me, a past recipient who could mentor them. And I've already like done work for Sundance. I could do that here. And they were like, cool, that's great. And then they were like, hey, you know, we want more of you. We want you to do this more. You know, what would that be? You know, how would that work? And you said, well, you could have me in the capacity you want me for $6,000 a month. And they countered with, how about four? And you were like, I need cash. And so that sounds good. And then, because of you're amazing and so good at what you do, they came back to you and said, how about six? That's amazing. First of all, just the victory that you pitched yourself. You made this opportunity for yourself. You asked for a rate that you were like, this would make me happiest. I could get this. They countered, and you were like, you made the just business decision of like, okay, I'll take that cash. And then they came back around, but they would never have come back around to six because six wasn't their idea. That was your idea. So you planted that idea in their head. They would have been like, we have her for four and she's doing good and that's it. Done deal. And that's why engaging in negotiation for a rate, even if like the job description was like, this is a job that's offered at four and you came in and said, I'd love to do it. How about six? And they're like, no, four. And you're like, okay. But still, now it implants the fact that, oh, what could she bring to the table? It's like, it's just brilliant, brilliant. So then your question here is, now I'm working for this place as their like grant person, and I'm Ava from WAVE, the WAVE program. And wait, that's why I left Sundance. And I want to be known for my filmmaking things. And for you, this is a bit of like still static inside your mind. Is that right?
Yeah, and I also, you're so good at summarizing. Thank you. I think that at Sundance there was a big culture around like the artists that we're supporting. That's your life. Like it was very discouraged when I got that grant from Wavelength, when I got a grant to make another short the next year, the question was always, well, how are you going to do both? Like this is your main thing. Like, we pay you to do this, and these artists are meant to be your main priority. And so, I think I am having trouble, like mindset wise, this is how I pay my rent, you know, like this is, I'm also very passionate about supporting these young filmmakers. Another big reason why I love Sundance was because I found myself starting to get, like, I felt like peers with the people that I was supporting, and I could no longer really mentor them or give them advice on something that I was also trying to figure out for myself. Like, they would come to me and say, "How do I make my feature?" And I'm like, "I would like to know as well." And so I felt a little bit like there was like a dissonance there, but with shorts, I've done that. So when there are these filmmakers who I'm supporting now are all like women filmmakers making their first short films, I can speak to that experience with like full confidence and understand that. So I feel comfortable, but now they're kind of wanting to position me as like one of the leaders of the program. As they put together a board, as the program grows, they're now forming like a 501c3 and getting a board together. And the people that they want on the board are like industry professionals. And so position figuring out how to position myself as like, yes, I provide this service for these filmmakers and I love these filmmakers and I'm so proud of all of them. But I also am writing two features of my own that I would like to be taken seriously and wavelength their producers as well, and I want to be able to like pitch them. I'm not saying like because I've done this work, I expect you to produce my films, but I want like a shot at the opportunity. So I think it's like some Sundance trauma that I'm shedding, but also trying to embrace like all parts of what I do.
Yeah. So you had a conversation with the producer, Taylor, and you were like, you know, I want to definitely want to continue working with you, but I also want to be seen as this. And she was like, no, I'll totally read your scripts and there won't be a weirdness. So what's great and encouraging, and I love how you're like, I think this is part of like residue from Sundance. And I'm think and you're kind of maybe thinking, understandably, like, oh, this is gonna end up the same. But it sounds to me like you're in a different position because Sundance, you kind of came into Sundance, which was already a machine. Whereas, so one of the differences is in this situation, you created this for them, like you created your position. So that's one difference. The other difference is they seem to be open and willing to see you separately and judge your material, not contingent on the fact, well, she's working for us. So it doesn't sound like it might be the same. Don't want to self-sabotage yourself in fear of, I don't want it to be the same. Let's see if it's going to be the same. Right now, there's not a lot of indicators that it is. And it's in t April of 2025. You know what's really good to have? Cash flow. Yeah, as an artist. And so the good news is I actually think this is all in your mind, meaning it's a mindset thing. And the more that you become get in alignment with the fact that you are a filmmaker and you happen to also serve as a mentor selector for this program. If you do not have any trouble with that, other people are not going to have any trouble with it. If you're like wonky a little bit, they'll be like, okay, well, okay, they pick up on the vibe. People believe what you tell them, like what you show them. So this is really about you going, what if this is not a problem? What if this isn't not only not going to interfere with me creating my art, but what if it actually might help me? What if the people I need to know I'm going to meet through this? What if? Because that is just as much a story that's possible as, oh my God, this is going to turn into the same thing as Sundance. So, my question then to you is, what do you feel is inhibiting you or preventing you from kind of fully embracing? I don't think this is going to be a problem.
I think it is self-sabotage, firstly. Like, I think I'm, and I think there's a big part of me that I'm like so confident in what I do for a wavelength, and I know that I'm being so helpful and good, like good, but I don't feel that way when it's just like me and my work. You know, like when it, and so then I start getting into my head and just like hearing this one like directing teacher from college being like, you know, you're such a like mama bear, like you would be better suited as a producer because like you were like a maternal figure. And really, like, I now look back and can understand that was like a sexist comment because his favorite students were like the male directors in the class. But I can't say that that comment from him didn't lead to me taking my job at Sundance right out of school and like really committing to artist support in such a way that I was like really dampering down my own work until the pandemic when I was like, let me just try. Like, what if I just tried? And so now that I've made this big leap of leaving Sundance, I just feel very like raw and vulnerable and scared. And there's this like secure, like stable security of like my role at Wavelength. And it could be so easy for me to just be like, you know what? I'm the director of the Wave Grant. Like, this is what I do. There's a deadline release announcing it. And I'm just known as like Anna from Wavelength. Like, I went from Anna at Sundance to Anna from Wavelength. And I want to be Anna who's making her own films. And I had films at festivals last year and I'm working on two scripts. And but when I go to open final draft, I'm like, maybe I'm just better at being Anna from Wavelength. You know, and so
Yes.
like that's kind of,
This is such an important thing to be talking about because this is so major and so common. What you're engaged in right now in your life is you're building a muscle of, I am going to decide where I'm going to put my energy. And it's not merely a mental decision of I'm going to put some energy towards my filmmaking career and I'm going to put some energy towards Wavelength. It's really a thing about like learning how to give support but not give all of you. And that is an important thing to have because in the role of a director, you have all these departments. They all are coming to you, and it's just a constant where who's going to get part of my energy and who, the most in the day. And, you know, so this is just a microcosm of the muscle you need as a director and a leader of a project. So it's like, great, my job isn't just giving me cash, it's actually giving me these opportunities to work these muscles. Now, there's this split that a lot of creative artists face that you're in where you're like, oh, I have a lot of like noise and stories around my own art. So I'm just going to go down the road where I give everything to another thing. I'm just going to give it to this job. And Julia Cameron, who created The Artist Way, she calls those sh that shadow artist work, supporting other artists, you know? So many people do that. And the wonderful thing about that is no one's going to call you on it. Oh, look, you're supporting the artist. Oh, that's so great. You lead your mama bear. And mama bear is a great quality, by the way. Fuck him, you know. it's going to be a great quality with you as a director and a writer, and you guiding actors. Like all actors would be like, oh yes, Mama Bear energy would be some nice on a set for coming from a director. Trust me. So some people self-sabotage by giving everything to a job. It doesn't even have to be an artistic job. Just like, oh, I'm just going to give all of my energy to this job because it's hard to think of my own work that brings all the feelings. Then other choice would be, I can't have any job. I must just only have my films because then I'll do them. And that doesn't work because you need the cash flow. So those are both self-sabotaging. The strongest part, especially in April of 2025, is to get the muscles that allow you to go right here in the middle, surfing and adjusting course between, like, okay, doing enough for my day job so that I get the money, but just as much as they're paying me for, and just as much because you have a lot to give and you could work double the amount of time they're paying you for over here. And the need is always greater than the staff they have to serve the need. But every hour, an ounce of energy you give above and beyond what they're paying you for, you're actually reducing your pay rate. You're like opposite of giving yourself a raise. So you want to do that enough to keep the cash flow and the reputation, like they love you. Great. And then it's about dealing with your issues and clearing the space so that you can devote the majority, hopefully, of your energy towards your own stuff. And as you work through the issues around your work, the issues with that you have right now with your job will go away. It is not at all about this, but people like to make it about it so they don't have to look at their work or what they're doing or not doing over here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that really, really resonates.
Yeah. So if you wanted to talk about this more in the mindset calls that we have every month here, we could certainly talk about what your all the swarm around your art.
Sounds good.
Yeah. As
Thank you,
far as your cash
Christine.
flow, congratulations for having a job, super victories for leaving Sundance, finding another place, pitching yourself, negotiating, and doing such excellent work and being such a wonderful person that they were like, we definitely want to keep her, so let's pay her what she wanted so that she'll stay. Yeah, that's amazing. And you're in the best position for an artist to be in right now. The best. And it doesn't reflect at all poorly on the fact that you're doing two things like that. That is old thinking that if you're not solely doing the thing that you're here to do, you're less than. No, you got a roof over your head, you're more than.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you're also demon that is part of your mentoring, is showing artists like you got to have both and you got to be able to do both. And so I just think you're doing it all right. And this is just a growth period for you of some new muscles around your own art. I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thank you,
Thank
Christine.
you
I
for bringing this up
appreciate
because
it.
it's.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, welcome. Yeah. So, hello, everyone. I'm Christine Aller, the creator, coach of the Creating Cash Flow program here in Abundance Bound. And so you can submit your question ahead of time. That's what Anna did. And so, but right now, I don't have any other questions. So the floor will be open for the remainder of our time. If you want to be coached, raise your hand. And then that helps me like figure out how to portion out our time. And my fabulous assistant, Kate, is also here in the group. And she is the person behind the Ask Kate in our membership community. And I don't look at the chat, because I can't coach and monitor a chat at the same time. My brain just does not work. But Kate's in there. And so that's how we will continue today. And we'll start with Cora.
Hi, yes, I'm at work, but I have thankfully caught me at the perfect time.
Yeah, so my question was today, I have a I'm excited to say I have a second interview for a tech job. For a customer success engineer, it's fully remote. I actually already talked to Miata about it. We actually wanted to brainstorm how I negotiate. I'm not there yet. We haven't on the thing. They said 25K to 60K, which is super low. And I was going to say I can't do anything less than 60K, but obviously I was going to word it in a way Miata suggested, saying like, "Hey, I was looking for something in the 70 to 80 range, and here's why, and these are my skills." And I have the technical interview portion, so we're not quite there yet, but obviously hoping to be. And I wanted to catch you while I had you. Of other things I should maybe add or like make sure I share and say when that time comes.
And so when you are, this is for everybody, like when you're engaged in seeking a job position, you always want to ask yourself. So the job descriptions are always like, this is what we want. Like, this is what we want you to be able to do. Great. But you want to ask yourself, okay, so this position, how does it serve the company? And what type of person do they actually need in this position? What do they want this position to like give back to the company? Not just like, because it can, the job description for a receptionist is we need somebody at the front desk to answer phones. If you have multi-line phone experience, yay, that's great. But certain things for certain companies in that position is different. It might be somebody who we are like a fast-paced company. And we need somebody to really be on it and detail-oriented and be able to learn things fast and synthesize information at the front desk because it's the hub of information. And if that's the type of person you are, you'd be like, this is who you need, somebody who can do all of that, and that those are my strengths. Because what you really want is someone there who makes it go smoothly, who makes things go smoothly and flow and is able to stay on top of details. Am I right? And then they'd be like, yeah, that's what we need. Okay, great. Whereas another company, it might be the type of company where the front desk person is like, well, this is the first like customer facing person that people experience for your business. So really this person is giving the texture of the business. You want them to make the customers feel a certain way, whatever that way is, taken care of or served, whatever. So that could be the type of receptionist where there's not a lot of phone work or whatever, but it's most important. So by you really understanding what your role and how it connects to what the company wants for their bot and how it affects their bottom line, and you can start speaking like that, you'll sound very different than the other people. So what is the function of your this job that you're applying for? Tell me a little bit about it.
Sure. Yeah. So the job is, from what I understand, it's usually more involving like helping their customers move through tech problems that they're experiencing with their software. So the software is very much like a almost like an Elementor WordPress thing. Like if you can like or even Squarespace, but a little more code heavy and a little more understanding back end and front end. And so it's a software I'm personally unfamiliar with, but because I code, I can gather how it works. And I'm just starting to learn it. So I will be just as new as some of their clients, but they gave me time to like study before this project. Anyways, so I will be doing some of that. And actually, in the initial interview, they said what the biggest thing they really need me for is organizing their community. And, because everything's all over the place. They have like a community place, they have like a YouTube, and what's happening in their back end, like for their admin, is like all the tickets are getting disorganized. So they're not sure if things got addressed, or so they need to like literally revamp to make sure all the answers or questions that are coming in are actually getting answered, because like people do it, but nobody has any way of updating it. So it's going to be mostly my job to get their community both like even maybe having some sort of more engagement in a new, exciting way, but also creating a place for the company to organize all of the information to make sure. So, yeah, from what I understand in the initial interview, he said, he's like, I gave it a fancy name, but really you're going to be a community manager. I was like, okay. So they seem to, but then recently in like, he was very sweet and he was like, if you have any questions, like, please ask me about the project. And I did, and we got on a call and he was like, yeah, you got to be ready to be in the big leagues with some of these tech issues you might face. And I was like, a little confused, because in the initial interview he said I'm going to be mostly community manager, but okay, I get it. It's a Series A startup. I'm probably going to be doing a little bit of everything. So yeah, it seems that I'll be mostly handling tech issues when they come and community management and like revamping their whole system so it's a little more organized. Yeah, so it sounds like I'll be giving them yeah, ease, and you know, we can figure that out together, but ease and like knowing that things issues were handled and everybody is aware that they were handled on
Yeah.
all their different
So
platforms.
it sounds like this is a little hybrid of like they want you to know your shit so that it's clear and seamless and smooth in implementation
Yeah.
and problem solving. But they also, when you're interfacing with customers or fellow colleagues, because you're knitting things together, so you'll probably be, talking to everybody in the company, but also designing sort of the community experience,
Yeah.
that you really have to know how to provide someone with the feeling. So, like,
Hold on. I just want to let you know I'm going to be listening, but I want you to, could you, sorry, I'm going to have to head somewhere in like 3 minutes, but is it possible to still give me an answer? And is that okay? Okay. And then I'm just going to be off and mute and,
I will
okay.
just continue with my answer.
Please. Thank you.
So let's look at somebody who's like, I just do customer. This isn't Cora's position, but someone who just is like, does customer service. The customer has a problem. You're there to help fix the problem. Yes, you're that should know enough of the stuff to help fix the problem. But you could fix that problem in a way that doesn't leave someone feeling very great about the company, or you can have a customer experience where they were like, oh my God, well, that was a decent person to talk to. And I got my problem solved, or I didn't get my problem solved, but at least I was treated well and made me feel like they had patience with my question. So there's a whole other feel. And when you come into a job and go, it sounds to me that you definitely put a lot of weight on me knowing the infrastructure and the technical stuff that needs to be done or communicated or tweaked or solved. And I have the mind to do that. But what you're also getting with me is the emotional intelligence to understand how to do all of that while making my colleagues and clients and customers feel the way you and this company want them to feel. And I've looked at your stuff online, or I've looked at your social media, or whatever's available for you to look at. And it just seems to me that, and then you start describing like what their vibe is. Like, so they understand that you understand the vibe. And you're like, I feel I can really contribute to nurturing and continuing and amplifying that vibe for you or whatever. And another, so it's important for you to be like, this is actually what this position needs, and this is how I fill those needs, how I'm able to do it, why I'm able to do it, what in my past I would bring into this job. But even you just acknowledging you understand the holistic nature of the position, I think as an employer, I'd be like, oh, well, here's somebody who's smart and taking everything into consideration beyond just what we've written down on the job description. And the thing that what's difficult is they're bringing you in where you, Cora, have a learning curve on getting up to speed with the tech. It's not like, oh, I've done this before and I'll just do it again here. So that might be a little where they'd be like, well, we're going to have to train you, or we're going to have to help you get up to speed. So we're not going to give you over $60,000. So if there's no harm in starting and over 60,000, be like, I'm really looking for this, but I think Miata gave you great advice there. But because there's that learning curve with the tech, what you should emphasize is how fast you can learn and how well you retain information, and how well, once you've learned something, you can extrapolate on how things connect to one another. But then also lean heavily on the side of, and these are the soft skills I bring to the job as well. Because you don't just want someone who can understand the tech. You want someone who can understand the tech and understand how to be a great employee at your company, because that's the other side of this job. So I think the more you can articulate those two things in the negotiation process, it helps them see the value that you're bringing. And sometimes people are looking very narrowly at the value you bring. And it's your job in the interview process and negotiation process to expand their perspective of the value you are bringing so they can sort of see why you should be paid more. And it's not that you should be paid more or that you're worth more, it's that you're saying, I would like to be paid more because I feel that I can bring more to your bottom line. I can increase the pie of your business, so I want a slightly bigger slice of that pie, but I'll help you increase the pie. So that's what I would say about that. Good question. And congratulations on getting to the second round of the interview. Amazing. Alexandra, you're next.
Hi. I'm trying to find me. Here I am.
Hey.
Hello,
Hello
it's so good to
again.
Hi, friend. I really just wanted to we haven't touched base since I did all of March. Guys, I went to a whole bunch of what do we call them? Conferences.
Conferences.
Not. It's fine, but it's not what I like to do. So yeah, I kind of just wanted to touch base about that and just sort of update you on like where my am I a tiger? Is that what I am? With
Do you
audiobook stuff?
have you earned more than $5,000? I think is the thing with audiobooks.
Yes.
You're
Yes.
a
So yes,
tiger.
I'm a tiger. Yes,
Yeah.
I made my second year of SAG insurance.
Oh, you're definitely a tiger.
And it's 90%
Yeah, congratulations.
audiobooks and then like 10% residuals and video voiceover stuff. So yeah, maybe that percentage is off. Doesn't matter. I did New York, and I think we had a little chat about that. And then I did Atlanta, and we had a pre-game about Atlanta, and that went very well.
These are conferences, voiceover
Sorry,
conferences.
these are so the first one's an audiobook conference, and I had initially decided for the audiobook that I was not going to do the conference. I was just going to do the gala, and then literally the day before the conference, or maybe the morning of the conference, I was like, no, I really need to do the conference. And that was a wise decision.
Oh, great. I was going to ask you how that.
I felt like I finished the conference thinking that was a smart move on my part. So I was really glad there
Nice.
was clarity that that was a wise choice. I literally came home to a book from somebody I was talking to at the conference about nothing, and I hadn't even followed up with her yet.
About nothing. That's an important thing because what we talked about, it's not just a, like business, business, business. It's just at conferences, just meet people as people.
Yeah, and I wish I said to somebody the other day, like, there's a tiny piece of me that, like, wishes we were still on strike because I miss humans. Like, not a big part, guys. I'm glad we're not on strike. But yeah, I miss humans. And so if so that part of me very much got filled up. And I think I sort of let my ADHD freak flag fly on both of these because it's hard not to. And I was just like, okay, we're just gonna accept that she forgets things in the middle of discussing them, and that's just where we are. The number of times I said squirrel over both conferences was like, probably close to 100. But I let myself be me. I don't think that I hid by taking care of people in a inappropriately aggressive manner, and I also felt like I was fairly good for both conferences of also checking in with people about my needs, like in terms of like, do you know this person? Because I haven't met this person in person, and I really like to meet them. So that was really great. I have still yet to finish. So that was the beginning of March. I have still yet to finish my follow-ups, but I'm just saying to myself, like, I'm moving through it in the time that I'm moving through it, and that's just what we do, and that's fine. The second conference was very interesting because I have been in the voiceover world for a couple of decades now. And I have yet to go to a voiceover conference. You and I had sort of talked about this because I felt like, okay, I maybe need to treat my voiceover business like I treat my audiobook business, even though my audiobook business doesn't have a gatekeeper, and my voiceover and on-camera businesses do have gatekeepers, which are the agents and the casting directors and everybody. That being said, it was a very interesting thing to experience being a pro at a conference because it made me, and it's something I'm practicing in general, but it made me kind of lean back more. And, as you and I have talked about, like the number of conversations that had nothing to do with the voiceover world and everything, and watching other people have a very different experience because they needed to communicate and prove and do. I am very fortunate. I'm with one of the top agents. I know a fair number of players who have been doing this for a very long time. If nothing else, I had four wins of having face to face with four different casting directors who I know that I send stuff out to, and talking personally to one of them and having them say, I love your stuff. And that was like, so that was all like wins for me. And I think that I did a good job taking care of myself. I still have to finish the follow-ups there. Like, I have a list. I have a list, Christine. I have a list. It's just not getting done. But yeah, I think I kind of just wanted to touch base with you just to say, like, as exhausting as March was, and as much as I can totally relate to, was it Anna? I think it was Anna. Because I've been palpably missing my creativity, especially in March. We'll see what the differences are for the voiceover world, but I think it was a really, March was pricey, but I think it was a really wise decision to do that. So
That's
I don't know.
great.
Is this a win? I don't know. I feel like I'm just babbling
It's a
about, I
huge
don't
win.
even know.
It's a huge win. And you have 9 months to follow up from a conference, which is basically the time in which like the next conference would be announced again. But you have time. And trust me, if you did all of your follow-ups 9 months after the conference, you are still in the 20% of people who do any follow-ups. Trust me, people don't follow up from conferences.
I think for the audiobook, it's sort of like a, well, if I don't follow up, I don't get another book. Like there's this weird one-to-one that's in my brain right now, which is not as true in the voiceover world. But yeah, in answer to Kate's thing, yeah, it was a little surreal to feel like I want this in my on-camera world where I'm just like, oh, I don't have to, people come up and talk to me. Like, I'm talking to a guy who literally makes millions of dollars in video games, and he and I talked for 4 hours, and in between he kept having fans come up to him being like, oh, Mr. Fun, you know what I mean? And it's just so, oh, like I'm a that like I'm guys I'm not making millions of dollars. However,
Fiscally, you're not, but experience-wise, you are.
I'm in that circle, which is really
Fun.
It was nice to sort of like have a reminder of like, okay, yes, maybe your bank account is not currently showing. And yes, we can all always grow. I think that's the hardest thing for, I think lawyers, some, not all, but some lawyers get to the position of like, no, I am where I am. I'm really good. I'm at the top of my game and I'm done. Like there's a finish line, and creatives never have a finish line. And so to have like just a little bit of a reminder of like, oh yeah, of course, you can get better, but where you are, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we don't have finish lines as creatives. We have milestones. So you, and I'm really happy that you were able to have a visceral experience of like, oh, I have reached this milestone of being in the peer group of very experienced voice artists. And that's a great experience because now you carry that inside you. You have proof of it for yourself. I love that. I think that's great. And just put the audiobook follow-up as the priority, do the voiceover stuff second. And business is about making fiscal investments in ourselves. And all we want is for them to be the wisest possible ones we can suss out at the moment. It feels period when a big expenditure happens all at once, but that doesn't make it not the right one.
And
So
also, I think the learning curve about who we are as people in these experiences, and like, oh, what we need and what, how our bodies respond to things, and how we need to like take care of ourselves, and like, all the stuff that you had talked to us about like prior to going, it was everything was kind of like, that's a lesson. Okay, that's something that I need to remember about myself. Okay, that's something like these little like I'm gonna put this in my little like I'm picturing like a little velvet, bag with a drawstring.
I love it.
So yeah, and now I think April is kind of for me about I can't believe it's already I keep thinking it's the ninth. The sixth is bad enough, but I keep thinking like my brain is not finding a sort of not balance, because I don't like that word anymore because it feels like it has to be perfect, but like an ebb and flow between, the sort of business focus that I have and then allowing creativity space because I hadn't been because of all this stuff. And so to try to navigate those things. So that's sort of my next goal for myself, I think.
Sounds great. I like the word rhythm
Yeah, that's good. I like that word.
because rhythm can change pace, but rhythm means like everything's being included, not necessarily equally, just included in a flow. And I also think it was really valuable for you to get confirmation that you can be yourself. You were yourself at the audiobook conference and you were well received. You had a book waiting for you when you got back. Like you were yourself at the voiceover conference and you had this wonderful in-depth conversation with this fabulous colleague. It's like, yeah, you're okay just as you are.
2025 for me is very much the this. Like I'm gonna lean back and still be
Yes.
myself, but it's not a pleading. It's a I know I'm leaning back in my experience with myself.
Ownership. Yeah.
Ownership, which is
Yeah.
very scary, but I'm really fighting for it. So, which
Yeah.
is ironic. I'm fighting for relaxing.
Right. Yeah. It's a great focus to have for this year. It's for you. It's like, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
I've reached this milestone and I can enjoy it and I can own it and I cannot have to worry about it and I can just then expand from it.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank
Yeah.
you. Thank you,
Yeah.
everybody.
Thank you for sharing that. Helen Highfield.
Hi.
Hi.
Let me pin you.
Remind everybody who you are and what you do.
Hi, everybody. I'm Helen. My it's not even like, I guess it's a side hustle. Whatever. Highfield Home. and I hesitate to call myself a designer, but I'm an interior stylist slash sort of designer. Got
Design.
well, yeah. What I've gotten more comfortable saying is like I do styling and furnishing, because I'm not like picking out your bathroom tiles. I don't know how to do that, but I can help you pick a couch. So I came on here partially as a check-in. It's been a minute since I've been able to come to one of these, and I need a refresh of your voice in my head on everything. I also came in here. I realized as I was listening to everybody, I initially was like, "Oh, I'm gonna log on so she can tell me what to say." And as soon as I logged on, I was like, "I know what she's gonna tell me. God damn it! I just need to do it."
Oh, yes. What was I gonna, what's your question? What was my answer?
Well, so I am my current project. Is I have a friend who is moved into a place and he has hired me to set up a his several rooms. This is part of the issue is the scope has changed. Always does. He's a studio to do music content creation. Like he has a piano and he's going to make YouTube videos and whatnot. And so I'm designing it. And he has been wanting to work with me for a while. He is like really thinking of this as an investment. He's hired another friend of mine to be like the creative producer. There was going to be another producer. That guy was asking for 20,000 a month, which just I wish I had the balls to do that. I wish I had the balls to just send over a contract for 20K a month. And so whatever, I quoted him a price. And he was like, yeah, great. And then we haven't talked about it since. And I'm having one, I know I need to start the conversation with him. And I have your voice in my head saying, you need to be the leader in your business because I'm catching myself being starting to be a little like, hey, you haven't paid me yet. But here's the thing, I didn't tell him when to pay me. So that's my bad. And I'm annoyed at myself about that, but it's a reasonable conversation to have, and he's lovely to we'll have this. We've already had the conversation where we're like, we are good friends. That is what matters. We're gonna have to switch hats sometimes, but we're friends with different hats. Okay, great. So I think I need to have a like, let's put our business hats on conversation. But the part of the reason I think I've been slow to have this conversation is I have been, and I've brought a version of this to maybe the last time I was here months ago. Initially, I've been charging with like packages of hours, right? And when I'm hired as a freelance stylist, it's a day rate because it's like a production company doing that. And I even raised my rate this year. A designer that I've worked with, it was actually great. You'd be so proud. She, at the beginning of the year, was like, emailed and was like, hey, can I get an updated version of your contract for 2025? And I was like, yes, I will update the contract that I definitely already have and send it right over to you with the updates. It's just need to add the updates to the one that I totally have. And just like made one and raised my rate and like talked to everybody I knew about it and raised my rates and whatever. And then she was like, great, I'll get back to you. Took months and months and months. I thought she hired someone else. I'm shooting with her next week. It's fine. And so a couple things. One is it is I think I just need to process how wild it is that as soon as I raise my rates, every time I've raised them, I feel like I need to raise them again. And it is like such a process internally to get myself to raise it, and I'm like, I hem and I haw, I'm like, I shouldn't, I shouldn't, I shouldn't, and I do it, and I do like one job at that new rate. I'm like, whoop, needs to go up. It's not enough. People need to pay me more. So that is fascinating. Curious on about your thoughts on that. And then also, I'm just struggling with how I've been pricing things with packages of hours, and I've done a little bit of research about interior designers and how they pay. I also recently had a job with a designer where, like, they're not used to working with somebody with a day rate, so they kept being like, "Give your hours," and I'm like, "No, it's a day rate. You don't understand how freelance works, because like you've reserved my day. Like my day goes to you, not to somebody else. So you're paying the day. It doesn't matter if I didn't work the full day because like my day was not available. Whatever." So, but they're used to charging, like, billing client work hourly, and I'm so used to, like, I charge hourly as an acting coach, and I raise my rates there too. Not a ton, but technically I raise them. And that I can understand because it's like it's you and me, and this is the hour, and the hour costs this much. Where I'm struggling with the designy stuff is my clients aren't seeing a lot of the hours, right? There's the hours where we are present together doing some stuff. But then there's also the hours that I am researching and brainstorming and emailing the vendors and learning about acoustics and talking to the acoustic specialist guy and getting setting up a consultation and then dealing it with it, the fact that he's emailing me three times. Like, so I don't feel comfortable yet, and because it's a friend, and I've even out loud been a little like, I charge hourly, it's packages of hours. I'm not going to charge you like an hour for one email, you know, like I'm not doing that. But now I don't, and like I'm tracking my time to some extent, but I also feel like I don't know how to track it because some of the work that I'm doing is like, yeah, I'm emailing the acoustic panel guy back, but I'm also watching TV, and then like, there's times where I'm like, no, this is an hour spent m making a design in a program. And sometimes it's like, I'm also learning how to use that program. Like, so what maybe would take a more experienced person an hour, it's taking me three because I'm on a learning curve. So I don't feel comfortable charging for the learning curve. So then I'm just constantly in this like, ugh, how many hours has it been? Because it feels like it's been 10, but I think I'm charging you five. And I'm trying to like hold it to the standard of like, what will I not feel resentful about? But that keeps shifting. I need more money.
These are all really good questions, and these are all really difficult questions that a freelancer is, and your business especially is so like, there's a lot of it that's not seen. And so the client is like, why is this so expensive? Just got me a couch. Like, it's like, oh, you've no idea. So, yeah, good muscle building in all of that. First thing, let me just give you a phrase to use with your friend the next time you email him. It's for everybody. If you're like, oh, I need to have a conversation, but I feel like it's been too long to have the conversation in business, but now I need. Here are the next steps to get the ball rolling on our project. Hi. Here are the next steps to get the ball rolling. It's fine. It implies the ball has not been rolling, but here are the next steps. And then you can clearly be like, you have to get on my schedule, you have to book this thing, you have to sign the contract. Those are the next steps. And then the ball is in their court. Okay. So then all this stuff. You're sending an email for them and you're also watching TV. The reason they get charged for that is because you could be sending an email for somebody else that you wanted to send an email for while you are watching TV. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the work you do is fun or easy or done while you're also doing something else. I don't care. It's attention that you're spending on them rather than spending on anything else in your life. Any of your friends are not getting an email because you're sending that email. Doesn't matter. if your feet are getting massaged while you send the email. And then learning curves, that is just something that you sort of everyone is every single time you're doing work for someone and you're also kind of learning the work, each one is different and each one is a judgment call. Sometimes I've been like, yeah, okay, it took me like 5 hours to do this, but technically it's because I didn't know some stuff. So I'm just going to charge them for half of that time. I'll do it like that. Or sometimes I've been like, this is actually something I need to know. So I'm actually just going to give them that time. Like it, you just kind of feel into it, sort of thing with that. And you also take into consideration like the relationship you have with the client. Like, are they going to care? Do they have a ton of money? Like, it's just all these different variables into the judgment call when there's a learning curve. And then here's the thing about rates. This is for everybody too. In different phases of your career, you're going to have different prices. And at times, the American thing is, especially that's just been like shouted on social media for the last 20 years, is just like a sign of your success is that your prices go up, and you continually charge more for your services. I can tell you that I've had packages in the past where people have paid me over $10,000 a year to work with them. But now I have the highest package on my website is like 3,000 something. That doesn't, I'm a better coach now than I was back then. I only get better as a coach, but it's pricing is also about what's the type of work you want to get, what's the type of clients you want to get. And you're using your price to attract the right people and to then do the type of work you want to do. And the difference between the 3,000 price and the, I mean, I charged 14,000 for 14,900 for a year was the highest I ever did. But the difference is I did a lot more of a different type of work. And I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. And so I then dialed down the package and dialed down the price. I've had so many different prices and packages. And I went through a phase of business where every time when I was doing the full year with clients, every time I booked a client at a price, I immediately raised the price. It just kept going. It went from like 7,000 or six all the way up to 14. So yeah. And but now I haven't changed my prices. My price for a 90-minute session has been 480 for probably 10 years. I just like it. It attracts the right people. I feel like it's enough. And it's never 90 minutes. It's the intake, it's the follow-up email, it's paying my assistant, it's paying the thing, the software that is, there's lots of costs. And sometimes you have to make clients aware of all the hours that go behind the scenes. And sometimes a great way in your case, especially for what you do, for your private clients, I think the articulation should be, this job will likely take 5 to 15 hours. Not all of those hours are going to be us together. There's a lot of work you just contextualize it for them. There's work I do behind the scenes, arranging things, blah, 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 blah. I want to give this example. As an organizer, I didn't necessarily have on my website or say immediately with every client that like there's stuff I do behind the scenes. It's not just when I show up at your house. But I've recently been pulled out of retirement as an organizer. I'm doing this very large job for these people. And I was talking with, it's a couple. So I was talking with the husband. And he was kind of joking, but kind of not joking. And he was having a lot of stress about money at this particular juncture. And he made the joke, he's like, yeah, I mean, every time you're here, it's like $250 an hour. And I clocked it when he said it, but we were continuing on with the conversation. But I wrote him an email afterwards and I sent him a little voice message. And I said, I'm saying this, it's unsolicited advice, but you're having a lot of anxiety about money right now. And one of the reasons you have anxiety about money is you're speaking to it with very vague terms that aren't actually realistic and you're not contextualizing it. And I actually wrote out, like, I spoke with him on the phone for 3 hours for free. And this is how long it takes me to get to your house. And this is the time I'm with you. This is, I sent you these two emails that took me an hour and 45 minutes to write to you. It's like, and so my rate is this much an hour, which is far less than, I'm not even charging them $250 an hour. But he had it in his head, like, you're like a lawyer. I'm like, oh, sir. And that little number is gross. Then ta I pay taxes out of that and I pay my business expenses out of that. And it just, and his response was really lovely. He was like, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying here. I'm like, but I don't want you looking at me when I'm in your house going, that's $250 an hour walking around. I was like, no, it's not. And I do a lot of work that you don't see for this job. So sometimes you have to do that with a client, but everybody, that's why you keep track of your hours so that if it's necessary, it's like, oh, I will give you the breakdown. And when you do things for free, so let's just say you did a thing, you only charged them for half the amount of time it took you because of the learning curve. And let's say something came up where they're like, well, what are you doing for all this money? And you could say, well, I did this and this, and then I did this, but I only charged you for half my time to take into consideration. Like, so you can show them the stuff you're given for free. I do that for clients too. It's like, well, I actually did that for free, or I dropped that off to Goodwill for free, which I did for these clients. I made a Goodwill trip, didn't charge them, just thought I'd roll it in. But I would bring it up if they needed to know about it. So, long story short, it's very important to keep track of your time. Because that's an asset that you can then use if you need to. So now that I've said all that for everybody, Helen, what haven't we touched on as far as making this particular easy?
No, that's all very helpful. It's I think a piece that was also tricky with the learning curve and process is part of what I was doing is like learning just a new software that would be generally helpful for like mock-ups and whatnot. And then he hit me with a freaking AI chat GPT thing and was like, oh, here's these five different, mock-ups that I had chat GPT do. And I'm like, now, yeah, and yours looks glossy and AI, but like you just asked a robot to do it. And now I'm frustrated. I don't know, like it felt like invalidating to all of the work that I did. And really, I was already kind of struggling with some imposter syndrome shit. And it just somehow hit me with that, where I'm like, oh, I shouldn't even be struggling to learn these things because clients are going to just do a loop around and like, source their own stuff and ask the robots to design it for them. And I'm like, okay, then hire the freaking robot. What are we doing?
Well, that's a question. That's a really good point to bring up. Because this is not even the future. This is now. And every one of us is going to have to ask ourselves, what are we bringing to the table that the robots aren't? And that's where you lean into. So you can learn how to use whatever thing he did to produce the thing. That's an option. If a client had been like, I'm just pulling this out of my ass as an example. If a client had been like, oh, could you draw up a floor plan for this thing? And I'd been like, sure, I can do it. And I had spent like 3 hours working on it. And he comes back with like, oh, you know what? I asked the robots to draw up a floor plan and I got all the, I'm still charging you for the 3 hours. You didn't tell me you were going to go do that. Yeah. So that now, though, you can say to clients, do you want me to do this? Or do you want to use this tool and do it yourself. What do you
Right.
want me to do? Because in your job as a stylist, part of what they are paying you to do is to just do stuff so they don't have to do it.
Right.
And giving your clients the choice of, do you want to do it or do you want me to do it? That's a great thing because they're then faced with like, oh, right, do I really want to do it? No, I
Right.
want you to do it. And then they feel like they're reminded that's part of getting their money's worth is that they are not doing it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in your business and sometimes with organizing, people are like, well, I could have done that. I'm like, well, A, you didn't.
You didn't.
Everything I'm doing for this couple, they could do themselves with a little bit of psychology that they couldn't. But
Yeah.
once I got them over that, now they can do it. They just don't want to do it or do it on their own. And that's what they're paying for. So, yeah. And don't
Okay.
ever be like, well, they could have bought their couch. Like, why do I need? It's like they didn't want to. And they wanted to feel, they wanted to have the experience of having a person approve of their couch. Trust me, a lot of people who want you to help them do their home is so that when someone comes in and says anything about it, they can be like, oh, but my designer, or oh, well, that's what my designer said. Like, not my fault. And let them pay for that experience. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why someone's hiring you, and you don't even need to know all of them. You just have to trust they have their reasons. And as long as they give you the money and it ends up in your account.
And I think the last piece is the scope change, which again, I have your voice in my head about like, saying, okay, so the scope has changed, so that means that we need to discuss da 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 da. And I think I need to keep practicing ways of communicating why that affects me because people just don't understand how that changes things. Like at one point, we're literally looking in this one direction and it was only on camera in this one direction. And now he's like, actually, it's this entire room. And I'm like, well, so that changes so many decisions and kind of invalidates the work that I did. But and so now I feel like I can't charge for it, but I can charge for it because that was the parameters that I gave. So you're the one changing the goalpost. This like at first we weren't going to be allowed to paint. Now all of a sudden we're paint the way I found out that we're allowed to paint is because the freaking chat GPT thing had blue paint in it. And I'm like, what's that about? Do we get to paint now? What's happening? So yeah. Scope change. At the last thing I'll say is all of your examples are wonderful, and this is rem I'm reinforcing this in my brain because it reminds me. Yesterday, I went to take my car to get an oil change at Valvoline, and they are so good at getting all of my money because I'm terrible with my car. I'm gonna run that thing into the ground. I don't give a shit about it. And they have this beautiful checklist that they show you and they point at, and they have a record of things. And they're like this, and they explain it over and over. The communication on this mechanic lady was so top notch. I was delighted to hand over $400 to her that I didn't expect to spend because she explained every inch of it, of like why my car needed all of the stupid fluids that it needed. It was such a lesson in the like explaining the job, because I just fully was like, I don't want to know anything about cars. I trust you, and you're saying that I need the thing, and you've explained it five different ways, and you've priced it out, and it's like a really lovely graphic. Yeah, take my money.
Yeah.
Wild.
I love that's such a great example. And anybody who's interested in creating cash flow or certainly being entrepreneurial in any respect, to just have your little antenna up of like, oh, this is why it's so fun to give this person money and why I hate giving this person money. It's like, but why? She had a framework, explained. You were able to make choices of like, do I want this package or this thing? And this is comes back to leadership energy. So you're talking to a client, blah, 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 and they're showing you a thing, and then they turn the thing and they're like, but it's all of this. And then your leadership energy is like, oh, Great. Okay, now this will change things in this way. But boop, which is clearly, it'd be like somebody showing me around their house and going, we want to organize this. And I'm like, great. So blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, oh, right. But we have these two sheds. But okay, well, now let's, that changes everything. Yeah, you're getting it.
Yeah.
It's just about trusting yourself and allowing it to be a little messy and feel a little awkward, but still doing it, still stepping up and leading. Your client doesn't know anything. Your job is to corral them and move them along and go, no. And phases, remember we talked about this long ago. That is your word. Okay, do you want to add that? Do you want to add that would be like phase two of this project. Do you want to add that in to what we're doing? Yeah.
Good call.
They don't get to dictate because they don't know.
Yeah.
I asked the computer, it's like, okay, well, did the computer tell you this and this and this and this? No. Okay, good. Yeah. And the good news is the computer can't execute it for them. The computer can give them a vision, but your job as the leader is to go, well, this is what this vision actually means. I learned that one of my first jobs out of college was at a print shop. We'd have people come in all the time going, I want you to print this picture. But they'd want it to bleed off the edge of like the piece of paper. And I'm like, well, if you want it to bleed, you actually have to print it on a bigger piece of paper. And then we cut the paper. Oh, so that's how an 8.5 and 11 full bleed is actually printed on a larger sheet of paper, which costs more. But nobody knew that. I didn't even know that till I'm like, oh, that's how that works. You just don't know, but you had to educate the customer of why it's so fucking expensive to get a full bleed. And then they all go, okay, never mind then. Don't do the full bleed. And you're like, yeah, okay, now you know. Yeah. Good job. Good
Thank you.
job doing it. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Ileana.
Hi, Christine.
Hey.
I have a mindset question. Is this an okay forum? Okie dokie. So I'm having a lot of trouble with resentment right now, and like anger and contempt about my job. It's really my sweet friend Anna is laughing because she just heard me vent about this and encouraged that I bring it to this format. So after we spoke last, I got sick. And it was really unfortunate timing to get sick because I missed the panel that I was really looking forward to being on. And it was also the beginning of my episode break in my writer's room. So I was like very energetically low, but like showing up on Zoom, chugging Dayquil to keep myself upright to like lead the process of this break over Zoom. The break continued. I like came back into work probably a little sooner than I should have to finish that process. And, the process has been going a little differently for each episode this season, and it just so happened that I was asked to do a pretty sizable amount of work outside the room, which hadn't happened with anyone else. And so it was like I wrote several scenes completely on my own time, and it ended up being I tracked my time. It was like 35 hours of work on top of the workday. So it was like a 70-hour work week, and I was just like very energetically low. And I'm a low-level writer in the room. Like, this is my second year at this job. I am thankful that I have a coworker who sort of told me, like, hey, you're really punching above your weight. Like, good job. The scenes that I was writing on my own at home were going over really well. But it was just really grating on me a little bit also because it felt like people outside of that one coworker, bless her, like there wasn't like a lot of acknowledgement that no one else, I felt like I was like, am I asleep? Like, no one else was asked it. Why am I? I felt like, am I being targeted? Is this a test? Now I have been released to write my outline, and I'm so mad. Like, there's also a piece of some of the content of the episode I don't love, and it wears on me to write it, and it's like not the kind of thing I would voluntarily put myself through writing, but it's my job, and I'm so handsomely paid to do it, and I know that there are so many reasons that I should feel, I'm so grateful to have this job. Like, that's all in the mix somewhere, but there's just like actually so much rage. I drove away from work like hating it, hating the building, hating those people. I hate every page of it. I hate every scene. And I like it, that was Thursday. And I have still not managed to just shake off this anger yet. And I rested a lot. I'd slept like 13 hours for like 3 days. Still angry though. You've in the past given me the advice of like you maybe need to like go on a long walk and like walk really hard. I was like, should I lift weights? Like, should I break something? I have like 4 more days to write this thing. There's a decent amount of it to be done, but I'm absolutely avoiding it because I resent it. And I also am, I think that some of the resentment is also coming from the fact that in those scope creep weeks, I didn't see any of my friends. Like, I had to cancel a lot of plans. A lot of the things that I would normally do to keep myself afloat just had to go away by virtue of the time that was being demanded by this task. So, now I have a little bit of that time back. Like, I could go take a walk right now and I just might. But I would love any guidance around like how to get myself out of this loop.
Yeah. Okay. So this is so good. Because all of us get in rage loops because of the injustice in work, in life, in whatever. And the rage and contempt is justified sometimes, most of the time. And we are in a time where we are going to get into rage loops and contempt loops because it's just what the fuck is going on. So, what do we do is a really good question about this. So, we'll use your experience as a little microcosm that we can all then extrapolate into sort of a bigger thing. So, when you are using words, when it gets down, when it moves from anger or frustration to rage and contempt and resentment, that is a different thing. Rage is different than anger. Rage is something that also, in addition to psychologically being processed, needs to be physically processed. Cannot keep rage and anger and contempt inside your body because it will start to damage you. So you want to get it out physically. So whoever told you to break something, that's a great thing. In my caregiver group, where we talk about rage a lot, one of the women suggested you, she freezes plates of ice. So she puts water on a plate, puts it in her freezer, and then she has these discs and she throws them at the back wall of her house to just. So ice is great because then it melts to the water if you're throwing it outside. You know, waters the grass. But even throwing it down on concrete from a high story window, if you don't have a wall, but you can freeze ice cubes or silicone molds into like ice balls, but or smashing a coconut or just getting a baseball bat or something and smashing onto your mattress. Like you've got to physically get it out. When I was at my peak rage for my parents, I hired my friend's husband, who is a personal trainer. And I said, we're going to do 4 sessions. This is not about my physical. He had all his equipment in his backyard and he had like sledgehammers and big tires, like that sort of stuff. And I'm like, I need to come over and hit things and break things. And I will likely be crying through this whole experience, but this is what this is for. And he just put me through paces. We hit things and moved tires and whatever. And it just got it out of my body. So likely that is a good thing for you to do. The walk, sure, but might need to break some things on the walk or whatever. So you're going to physically process some of this rage. So how do we psychologically get ourselves like to okay, let it go, let it go? One of the first things I would ask is, based on this experience, should this come up again, the same sort of like, oh, can you do that? Like, how would you do it differently? Or how would you get out of doing it? Like, what would you do differently based on what you've learned this time around on this sort of thing? Anything?
I'm not sure. I think part of it is I actually don't know if I ha this has been my only writer's room experience. So it's been this room times. No one else has been asked to do this, but I actually don't know if it's outside of the realm of appropriateness to ask somebody to work at home. It might be normal or fine, and I just don't know. So I don't know if I have the right to say, actually, I don't want to do that on my own time. I actually don't know.
Have you called the Writers Guild?
No.
Call the Writers Guild and just ask them, is there anything in our contract that would make this weird? This is my first writer's room. And then I would call them, and if you don't get a good response, call back and ask for somebody else. And then I would also ask a writer who's had more experience just to sort of suss it out, like, because it could be that this is like totally normal and okay. So, but find out so you know, because you need to know what leverage you have regarding that. Now, I totally understand this is what makes this industry such a strange and unique and lovely place, is that even if you had the leverage, then you have the decision to make of like, am I going to use it? Ah, so bad. Yeah. So you may or may not, but it's good to know if you have it or not. So that you're not taking advantage of again and again and again and again and again. So then it's like, was it something where it was just like a sign, like, Ileana, can you spend time and write these scenes for us? That would be great. Is that how it
Yep.
kind of was presented? You were like, okay, I guess I'll go away from this. And have you observed when someone else has been given that kind of assignment? Do they like take time off from the room to then be writing solo?
So when it first happened, it was like, Eliana, why don't you take a pass at this? And I went, okay. And what had happened in the past was it was like, Eliana, why don't, it would be like, why don't you take a pass at this, writer? And then when you turn in the outline to the showrunner to be edited, that's where you put your pass. Like, you do the pass during the week that you get to do the outline, and then you turn it in and it's revised there. With me, he said, take a pass on this. I assumed it was that. And then the next day he said, why don't you put up that scene you did? And I went, oh. And then it just so happened that he was out of the room for a little bit, so I could whip. I had done notes, but I whipped up something and I showed it, and it was like, great. And then it was like, why don't you do the scene for tomorrow? And then I understood that he meant to bring it in. I think that part of what's happening is also it's late in the season, and we're running out of time. So I think it's partially just an unfortunate coinkydink. And I think there's also a piece of, the writers who it was like, take a pass at that on your own and turn it into the outline were more senior than me. So it might have been like an oversight thing. And I know that it's less work for the showrunner to be able to give notes and have a pass at it beforehand.
Sure.
In a roundabout way, it'll be a little less work for me because I did it all then. But yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, it could have been a lot of things. It could have been a test. It could have been an oversight. It could have been just time crunch. Who knows? Could have been fuckery. Something like that. Who knows? So then, one area the next time it said is you can say, is this something you want for tomorrow or this week, or can I go ahead and include that? I would get clarity there. And if they're like, no, this week, then you can say, okay, the last time I did this, I totally like burnt out physically, like my body just like gah, gah, gah. And I know that we're time crunched, and I know that we're coming up to the end, and I want to be working at my peak for all of this. So, I can do this, but I can do one scene this week. I can't do this. Last time it was three times, and that just was too much. Like, so you might be able to do that. Again, it's always a judgment call, and you are not a weak person if you decide that just like this isn't the battle you want to wage to win the whole war. Do you know what I mean? So, because part of the resentment and contempt and anger and rage, 80% of that is for them. There's probably 20% that you're turning on yourself of like, oh, why couldn't I be stronger? Fight for my rights. It's like, Maybe, but not always. Okay. And there is a power dynamic, and there is a gender dynamic in our industry, especially. So it's like there's lots at work there, but the so then, okay, so we're going to process the rage physically. Then we're also going to look through, okay, what just happened? Would I do it differently? How could I do it differently? Do I need to talk to somebody about this? Like, what was that? Like, you really want to examine and scoop out some data and maybe make a plan. Okay, next time this happens, maybe I'll do this or maybe I'll do this. So you're not just deer in the headlights again. And it was your first time. We learn things usually the harder ways just because we've never done it before. No, we don't, you're not assigned a mentor that tells you all about it. Yeah, it's like life. Okay. So you just learn something the hard way. The bad part is when people learn something the hard way, but actually don't examine it and don't think about maybe how could I do it differently next time. They just go through it again. They get traumatized again and again and again and again. And then they're bitter and then they, you know, shoot people. Let's not dwell there. So you're going to be like, okay, what could I do differently, if anything at all? And that process sometimes leads you with, like, I don't know if I could have done anything differently that time. And I don't know if I can do anything differently next time. So maybe I just have to understand that this is just a hard job sometimes. And I don't mean like you should have sucked it up. I mean, it's like a beyond hard job. It's like doctors having to work 12-hour shifts. What are we doing? What are we doing? No one wants a doctor on their 12th hour. It's literally done for organization. It just makes it easier for the op it to run, but it doesn't mean patient care is, yeah. Okay. So then the third part is you want to go, what am I blaming myself for in this situation? And is that even right? Because you might be like, I should have done this or I should have. And if you can forgive yourself and talk to yourself a little more kindly about it, that can like help. Then the fourth part is, what about this is systemically just fucked up? I am in a fucked up system, which you are. The entertainment industry is crazy for so many reasons. There's a book that was written about it that I read called Burn It Down. Yeah. Yep. Okay. It was horrific. I was just going through that. I'm like, this is so depressing and so horrible about actual people's real experiences in the industry. So that you can acknowledge the part that's bigger than you. And sometimes there's things about the system that we cannot fight. And you want to be able to know what you can do and what you have leverage for and what's just like not you, your battle to fight because it'll wear you out. So you've examined now four parts of this, and each one of them will lower the temperature around it a little bit. And that will help. And it's okay to also feel all these feelings. Like you will may address all four parts of that and still be like, and I'm still bitter. I'm still angry. And that's healthy human reaction to an unjust situation. Like, yeah, okay. And so that's just gets filed under something that you're pretty angry exists. What you and when you don't address those four areas, what happens is you just sit there and you get like a little bitter, angry person, and then they're like, and you don't want to be that. You want to be like, this is crazy, but I'm going to put as little energy toward it as possible because they win even more when you're just hemorrhaging the energy about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And that's why the this too shall pass phrase is like, yeah, this is my life at this moment. In this whole scope of things, I am so grateful about the job. And by the way, Everyone, if you have resentment, anger, contempt, and rage for something, you're not going to get rid of that by going, I'm just going to make a gratitude list about how I'm so grateful I get paid so well. Because, by the way, part of the reason you get paid so well is so they can abuse you. That's the systemic part of this shit. Yeah. So, but a gratitude list is does not do anything for what is real, which are your feelings about this. The gratitude list, after you do the four things, then you can be like, yeah. Every that the gratitude list is where you pull your brain back 8 weeks from now when you're like, oh my God, I still hate that happened, and you drag your brain back, yeah, but I like the job, I like the money, so and this too shall pass. Yeah, that's where the appropriateness of that's the tool of the gratitude list is way later to keep you from stewing on it. But after all four of those things have been processed, is that I've sensed that's helping.
Yeah, that helps a lot. Thank you. I really appreciate that. You're right about the physical part of it having to happen first, and then I'm not going to rest my way through being really angry.
Oh, well said.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right, I just want to acknowledge for everybody that that is technically our time. I'm gonna address Cricket's little hand here real quick, but if you need to leave, thank you for coming. And I'll see you in two. No. Okay. April's weird. Hey, just gonna leap through the screen if I didn't remember this. Because of the holidays, we have so many holidays this month. We've moved our next cash flow session to the 27th of April. So we're gonna skip 2 weeks, but then we're gonna have 2 weeks in a row. So April 27th, May 4th. Those are our next two cash flow sessions. So, if you're leaving now, I'll see you in 3 weeks. And Cricket, what's up? Tell me.
I have a question that is not in your purview that I might actually ask you. But I came because of the same reason Helen came, that I just wanted to hear your voice and your like grounding and, wisdom. So thank you. And I fight with this issue around AI all the time in my work. And also my one friend told me X. And I have about the film festival world, and then they believe their one friend who told them X. And I've developed this language that is, there's a difference between information and knowledge and experience. And I try to start every conversation with that, because what you get on the internet is information. But what you get from Helen or from me or anyone else is knowledge and experience. And I do think it's important now to start conversations with that, because 5 years ago, they would have come to us because they wanted the knowledge and experience. Now we have to freaking prove it. So.
Yeah, I would actually argue that a little bit, that I don't actually think it's changed that much. Because as someone who's been coaching for a long time, it's like the information has always been out there. I'm in the integration application game. It's like you can have all my guidance. If you don't apply it and integrate it into your life, nothing's going to happen. That's where I'm like, you can get all the guidance. Good luck with that.
Yeah, you have to go that next level.
So your job
Very helpful.
is articulating, and I think you started with a really good difference. It's like knowledge, expertise, guidance even is different than information, because you,
Guidance is different from information.
yeah, knowledge, expertise,
Yes.
and guidance, knowledge, experience, and guidance is different than information.
Yes. Okay. All right. See, that's why I came on here, to get the guidance part. That is incredibly helpful.
Yeah. Because what guidance is someone comes to you, go, well, I have this piece of information, this piece of information, this book. What should I do with it, or which one should I pick? It's like, that's called guidance. So from my experience, and intuition and whatever. I will help you parse all this information, prioritize it, put it into a strategy, make a plan, la la la.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they don't, so what you do is you describe what it is you actually do, and you say the information is out there. What I do is I help you take that information and use and give you guidance based on my experience and the big knot of knowledge that I have. And we can make a, that will help you make a plan, that will help you execute faster, that will help you execute with more calm. Because then you say
Yes.
of how they're gonna feel.
Yes.
And that is the experience that you're paying for. Otherwise, you are there with your one friend and the internet, and you're not gonna feel great, and you're gonna move slower, and you might fuck up. Or,
Yes.
nice way to say, or you might hit some real speed bumps or worse, potholes. Your choice. Then
Right.
it's their choice. And that's what I meant earlier too. You provide the, you want it this way or you want it this way. Your job is to show them how it's going to feel based on the choice they make,
Right.
getting help, not getting help. But it's their choice.
Okay.
And you don't have to be mad at them for their ignorance of not getting guidance at this point. They'll probably circle back with you and be like, ah, and you don't have to save them from themselves. You don't have to like, oh, you're going to make such a bad choice, but let me do all this free work for you so you, I want to save you. No, you just let them live their life and go look for somebody else who is desiring guidance. Who goes, oh my God, you're the answer to my prayers because I was going nuts with all this information that I didn't know what to do with. And that's a
How
good
did you
marketing
know
tag.
that's
Are you going nuts with all this information the whole weekend collecting and organizing in your Notion thing? Now what? Yeah, now what? Now you need to have a
Yeah.
conversation with me so we can calm down, make you feel better, get a plan of action. I'll tell you what you don't need to pay attention to and what you do need to pay attention to. And even knowing that is amazing and saving a lot of time, energy, and money there. That's your job to communicate that, to paint them a picture. Good question. All right. Thank you,
That is
Lori.
so helpful. How do
Okay.
you know that I'm trying to save everyone from themselves, as usual?
Cricket. Game recognizes game.
I hear you. I hear you.
Yes, us bleeding hearts. I'm like, I love you. I want to help everybody. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I get
no.
it. I
See,
get
I
it.
didn't have a question, but you had an answer. So thank you, Christine.
It's amazing how this works. Well, thank you for showing up. And you showed up candidly and vulnerably and is like, I'm feeling this way. Yeah, that's all it takes. All right, guys. See
Thank
you later.
you.
Good
Thanks,
work. Good
everyone.
luck.
Bye. Thank
Bye,
you.
girl.